second in a series of radio comedies written by Nathaniel Curtis and Bruce Morris. Ed Gardner appears as Shane, the old-time baseball player who tells his prospective customers tall tales from the McCoy. 2 weeks ago, he told you the story of the cockeyed wonder. Tonight, by popular request, Shane McCoy returns to spin the epic of The Canvas Kisser.
No, but I will take a cigar.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Shane. Sorry I got to hurry off this way.
Oh, that's all right. I understand. Guy's got to keep on a job. Just like when I was playing big league ball.
You interested in baseball, by the way?
No, never liked the game. Go to the fight now and then, that's about all. Well, see you again.
Yeah, I'll stop in next week. Funny thing about fights, you'd think the kangaroo we had would have made a fortune, sure.
Well, sorry, you got to be going.
Can't do this to me. What do you mean, a kangaroo you once had? What do you mean?
It's better like a shot.
Well, it all come about through Mr. Magruder. A very smart guy with a dollar, this Mr. Magruder. And, well, he didn't speak much, you know. Just sit there blinking like a big hop frog. Mr. Magruder is always in there studying his thoughts. And very smart thoughts, too. Well, it was this day after the end of the baseball season closed, and having some time on my hands, I got down to the room Mr. Magruder called his office. So I opened the door, and there he is, sitting there, thinking away. Can I come in, Mr. Magruder?
Go ahead.
Mr. Magruder, I hope you slept well.
No.
I trust you are feeling fine?
No.
And I would like to discuss my future with you.
Go ahead.
You, Mr. Magruder, are a very smart operator. Yes, you are, and I would like very much to become a promoter, like you.
Don't. Listen, last week I had the greatest prize-fighting attraction of the world. This week, haven't got her anymore.
Her?
Yeah, girl by the name of Lulu Svensson. Great little fighter for a light-heavy. Terrific drawing card. Lost it at Joe Riley. The fog-trotting thief signed up from under my nose.
Well, granted, Mr. Magruder, but even so, I would still like to learn to be a smart operator.
Well, hang your hat on the rack.
Oh, that's fine, Mr. Magruder. You'll find I'm a great energy guy to have around. What do we do now?
We wait.
Oh. So for 6 days in a row, we sit there and we wait. We wait and we wait until I know that just one more day of sitting in that room and watching Mr. Magruder blink will drive me right out of the promotion business. When suddenly the door opens and his kangaroo hops in and sits down on a washstand.
A washstand?
Yeah, the chairs were so low. Well, you know, I'm the average man, and I don't like kangaroos in an office. But Mr. Magruder's the boss, and I'm content to let it go at that until his here kangaroo nods his head over us and he says,
"Good morning, Mr. Magruder."
Good enough, I guess.
Mr. Magruder, I think you and I could work together.
Possible. Very possible.
Mr. Magruder, please, you've got to stop this. It's a believe it or don't. You're talking with a kangaroo.
All right, so it's a kangaroo. Let's hear his proposition.
You are a fair man, Mr. Magruder. I, sir, am a very fine boxer and in the pink of condition.
I don't use animal eggs.
Oh, I see. Just a moment.
Mr. Magruder, it's taking off its hat.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Oh. Oh, it's a man inside all the time. It ain't no kangaroo.
No, looks like it ain't. Well, what's your name, young fella?
Bateman, sir. Henry Bateman.
I think I've seen you before, Bateman.
Yes, you have, Mr. Magruder. I used to have a trained boxing kangaroo named Willie.
Yeah, now I remember. What's become of him?
Willie's passed on.
Tough luck.
It's all my fault, too. It was as if I murdered Willie myself. I matched him to fight a lightweight and Willie got so weak trying to make the weight, he caught a fatal case of pneumonia.
Too bad. Fond of him, were you?
Oh, who wouldn't be? Willie had the heart of a lion. We were more than just pals. We were like brothers. I taught Willie everything he knew. That makes a strong bond, Mr. McGrew.
Yeah. So now you're going to do an act in his fur, huh?
Yes, Mr. McGrew. You know, I'm a pretty good fighter. Never got to be champion. I didn't have enough education for that, but I always felt that Willie might have made it if he lived.
Going to fight under his name?
Yes, Mr. McGrew. I owe it to Willie's memory.
All right, Bateman.
All right. I should say all right.
What a promotion, Mr. McGrew. It's terrific. It's sensational.
It's got possibilities.
Well, this Bateman had did plenty of road work and bag punching and rope skipping, and he was in perfect condition. So pronto, we contacted Mr. Magruder's contacts and lined up a bunch of fights. And then we took to the road. And Mr. Magruder, we're coming into Springfield.
All right. That's the next cop you see where the Parkham Hotel is.
Okay. Hey, officer.
Yeah?
Which way to the Hotel Parkham?
No, I'll tell you. Hey, what's that in the back of the car?
Boxing kangaroo.
Yeah, kangaroo, eh? Never seen one before. Well, now the Hotel Parkham. Let's see. You go on two blocks and turn left. And keep on straight to the traffic circle and turn right. Kangaroo. And you stay on till you come to the car track and you turn left again. And then you make that kangaroo quit nodding its head.
Get going,
Shane. Front.
Good evening, sir.
Three single rooms.
Right, sir. Three single... Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You can't bring that animal in here.
Why, of course I can.
May I explain that? This is Willie, the boxing kangaroo, fights in town here tomorrow night.
I don't care who he is. All I know is the Hotel Parkham doesn't cater to that type guest. Now get him out of there.
Bateman, get back in that car and pull down the shade.
What are you going to do, boy?
He's got to take the skin off again. I'm not going to sleep in the park, kangaroo or no kangaroo.
Front.
Three single rooms, please.
I hope you found a place for the kangaroo, Mr. Magruder.
Yeah, got him bedded down, all right.
Oh, boy, take these gentlemen to 409, 10, and 11. Manager's office, Mr. Carlton speaking. Oh, yes, Mrs. Ferry.
You know who I am.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
President of local
WCPU. Yes, Mrs. Ferry, we all know that. We're proud to have you in our hotel.
Then, young man, how can you be a trifle less rude than your switchboard operator when I tell you that the kangaroo's skipping rope in the hall?
They got it in again.
The police? What's the idea?
Mr. Magruder, you brought that kangaroo back into this hotel.
You're crazy. Nobody here but my assistant and the animal trainer.
I'll have to ask you to let the officer come in and sit.
All right. But you're still crazy.
Officer, do your duty.
Where's that door lead to?
The trainer's room. Go ahead and look.
Crazy, huh?
A kangaroo. And sleeping in one of our beauty rest beds. This might ruin us.
Wake that animal up.
What's the matter here? Wait a minute. What are you guys doing to Willie?
He's under arrest.
No, officer. You're not planning to take the greatest living boxing kangaroo in the world to jail.
Who's taking him to jail?
I'm taking him to the zoo.
Get Bateman bailed out in time for the fight, but we even had some trouble on that angle. I go up to the zoo to call for him, and them keepers lead me to a cage with six kangaroos in it, see? Well, Bateman can't speak up. What with the keeper guy standing there? And them dummies lead out the wrong kangaroo.
The wrong kangaroo?
Yeah, and I'm bit three times in two blocks before I realize that it ain't Bateman I'm leading. But finally I get him out and up to the ringside just in time for the fight.
Round Hudson! And the only
there's the warning whistle. Come on now, get in there and fight, kid.
Seconds aren't paying any attention to the kangaroo. They just keep yelling instructions in Ruppel's ear. But boy, oh boy, if that kangaroo could only talk, he'd know just what Ruppel was going to do in the fourth. There's the warning whistle. The seconds are climbing out of the ring.
Thing. I was so excited I could hardly stand still. But that Mr. Magruder, the more fights we win, the more he just blinks them sleepy eyelids like a frog on a log. Well, one day in Fall City, me and Mr. Magruder sitting in a restaurant when, who do you think walks up to us?
A waiter.
Well, sure, it was waiters, huh? But the surprise is, there is Joe Riley. Joe Riley, Magruder's competitor with Lulu Svensson.
Oh, you mean the prize fight dame?
Yes, the one Riley stole from Magruder. And she was really something to see, that Svensson was. Everything in the world that a beautiful dame should have, except being a heavyweight fighter, she had more of it. But it was all perfect, you know, one of them tall, blonde, and statuette.
When they are like that, I cannot resist them.
Well, anyway, Riley is working on Mr. Magruder to fix up a match when who should walk in the front door without his skin but face?
No, I tell you, Riley, absolutely not.
Now listen, my bald-headed Buddha friend. You and me have something to get together on here.
Riley, you're doing all right. I'm doing all right. Leave me alone.
That's the trouble with you, Magruder. No imagination. I tell you, a match between your kangaroo and my shy Swedish slugger would be a gold mine.
And I would be only too pleased to fight him.
Possible. Very possible. But I do not want any of it.
Listen, boys, I think Riley's got something. The lady here would draw plenty against it. Hey.
What's the matter?
What? Bateman just come in. He's out of his skin.
All right. Sit tight.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Magruder.
What's the idea, Bateman?
I don't know, Mr. Magruder. Just got kind of lonely sitting up there in that hotel bedroom.
Hey, what is this? I thought we were talking business here. Who is this guy?
He's the kangaroo's trainer. Bateman, shake hands with Joe Riley and Miss Lulu Svensson.
Pleased to meet you. How do you do, Mr. Bateman?
How do you do? Now, Magruder, let's talk reasonable. We ought to find a way to get together on a match. Now, a match with my shy Swedish slugger and your kangaroo.
It must be very interesting work training a kangaroo, Mr. Bateman.
Well, yes, that's right.
I've never seen a kangaroo fight. Tell me, do they lead with their left or their right?
Well, that's one of the advantages of being a kangaroo, Miss Svensson. You can do either.
How wonderful. You know, I'm a fighter, too.
No, I didn't know. But I'm sure you're very good.
Thank you.
Yes, Miss Svensson, from the set of your shoulders, I'd say you had a great left hook.
Huh? Some people have been kind enough to say so.
They weren't only kind. They were truthful.
Mr. Bateman, you have a very understanding character.
Oh, Miss Svensson.
Yes, you have, Mr. Bateman. I'd like to have a man of your character as my sparring partner. Would you consider it?
No, at any other time, I'd like nothing better, Miss Svensson, but right now, I'm dedicated.
What? 70% of the gate for you? Magruder, you're crazy. You and that kibitzer kangaroo, that worm-eating wallaby, that leaping lunch hook.
Kibitzer kangaroo? Worm-eating wallaby? Is he talking about Willie?
I'm talking about that hopping hamburger which Magruder's got the nerve there 70% for.
Listen, mister, I won't let you talk that way about Willie. Take it back.
What is this? A Boy Scout? Take it back. Don't be silly.
Take it back, I said.
Don't fly a kangaroo.
Well, our little man gave Riley as neat a 2 minute shellacking as you ever seen. So all negotiations for the match was off, of course. Well, we have about 3 more bouts in Fall City, and then I begin to notice a difference in Bateman's fighting. He's still winning, you understand, but no longer is he the fierce, free-slugging kangaroo like at first. Instead, he's fighting cautious, you know, and covering up on a bicycle. So I decide to do a little gum showing. And I find out, to my great surprise, that unbeknownst to both Riley and Magruder, he is having dates with the Svensson dame.
No kidding.
They're even doing road work together. Of course, he ain't wearing a fur.
Gee, to think I always used to hate road work.
So did I.
But since you've been with me, Mr. Bateman, I don't know if... takes all the work out of us somehow.
I like running with you, too, Miss Svensson.
Funny. I've run over this road 50 times, and I never noticed those trees.
Yeah, they're big and strong and beautiful. They're almost as beautiful as...
as what, Mr. Bateman?
As a certain lady fighter. You lift a little too low, Miss
Svensson. Yes, Mr. Bateman.
That's better. Now, lead high. Cross with your right. Quick.
Swell,
Lulu.
Thank you, Henry.
But I didn't hit you on the button.
Oh, that's true, Lulu. You didn't. But you will. You just wait. You won't hit me on the button yet.
Try again. Come on.
Henry, did I hurt you, darling?
Darling. Lulu, did you say darling?
Hey, what happened to you, kid? Hit by a truck?
No, Lulu did it. Oh, Shane, she was wonderful.
You mean you just stood there and you let her paint you?
But, Shane, you should have seen her just before she swung on me.
Oh.
There was the most beautiful look in her eyes. It was a mixture of fierceness, lovingness, and calculating the distance.
You dummy. What's the matter? Are you trying to get ruined?
Shane, I'm nearer to being ruined than you know.
Well, sir... you know, I'm a guy who has had amours himself. But I gotta protect our interests. So in 10 minutes, I am in Mr. Magruder's room, giving him an accurate outline of the state of mind, if any, that our attraction is in. And in 20 minutes, Bateman is in Mr. Magruder's room. I leave them alone, but I got my ear pressed flat to the door like a dead rose in a book.
Sit down, Henry.
Yes, Mr. Magruder.
Talk, Henry.
About what, Mr. Magruder?
You got something on your mind. You are not fighting good lately. You are making goo-goo eyes with that sweet Amazonian of Riley.
Mr. Magruder, she's a very sweet girl.
I knew it. Nothing is a safe proposition these days. Trouble with fighters over dames I can always expect. But a boxing kangaroo should be different.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Magruder.
Listen, Bateman. I am not a man that likes to waste words. You came to me without a dime. I make you into a big attraction. You got a million-dollar career in front of you. And just when we are beginning to go places, you go back on me. You betray me.
But Mr.
You betray me. You betray Shane. And what's worse, you betray Willie. All because you catch a fever over a big Swede.
No. Mr. Magruder, I wouldn't lie to you. I think Miss Svensson is one of nature's handiworks. But, Mr. Magruder, no love for a woman could make me betray Willie. There's a cause for my stumping, Mr. Magruder, but it's not love.
What is it?
Mr. Magruder, Willie can't stand the pace. Willie has got to retire.
Retire? Bateman, you are talking bughouse.
Please, Mr. Magruder, you mustn't take that attitude. Things are serious. A tragedy has happened. I haven't been able to sleep for 3 weeks. I've been almost crazy.
You are crazy. Talk sense.
Mr. Magruder, you will understand why I am so worked up when I tell you what has happened. Willie's skin is wearing out.
Now, listen, my friend. When Willie's skin wears out, we buy another kangaroo skin. It's as simple. What are you shaking your head at?
When Willie retires, I retire, Mr. Magruder. I could no more fight in some other kangaroo skin than I could, well, fight in some other kangaroo skin.
Mr. Magruder, what do you know? We got a telegram from Riley. He wants a match.
Tear it up.
And just open. What?
Tear it up. We got no fighter. Bateman is walking out on us.
Oh, he can't do that.
Please, Mr. Magruder, I explained. It's Willie.
Oh, so that's it, huh? Willie's turned yellow. I guess Riley was right.
Mr. McCoy, I shall have to ask you to explain yourself.
Yeah, well, listen to this. Magruder, Centerville Fight Arena, have signed sensational kangaroo who will dust off the canvas with that yellow, livid, bounding bum Willie.
Hey!
Will fight on winner-take-all basis. Signed, Riley.
I'll break every bone in his body. Mr. Magruder, you get that fight.
Willie is retired.
Not till after this fight, he ain't. Mr. Magruder, you've got to get this fight.
Well, we'll see. But you better start training the shape you're in.
Mr. Magruder, I'm starting now.
Shane, did Riley really say that?
Oh, well, he called Willie a bounding bum, all right, but the yellow level was my own idea.
Shane, you are coming along fast to be a promoter.
Thanks.
But I don't like that winner-take-all business.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Magruder, we'll clean up.
Shane, you are not coming along as fast as I thought. This Riley has crossed me before, and he will cross me again.
Rival kangaroo, eh? Wait till we get in the ring. Yellow-livered bum to Willie, a yellow-livered bum.
Bateman,
take it
easy.
Shane, put another bag up and stand aside. A rival kangaroo, eh? Kangaroo. It's a lady kangaroo.
Yes, that's what he
said. But I can't fight a lady kangaroo. Willie would never do a thing like that. It ain't chivalry. Why, it might even be his own mother.
Yes, there's the bell. Get in there.
I can't.
Well, then I'll shove you in.
Oh, get in there and fight, Bateman.
Oh, what's the matter with Willie?
Come on, Willie.
Whoa,
he's down. Shut up, you pig!
Will you?
Oh,
he ain't even trying.
Bateman, is this a double cross?
I told Mr. McCoy, never will Willie hit a lady kangaroo, even though she's not much of a lady. We will die in there first, Willie and me.
Listen, Bateman, that's no more a kangaroo than you are.
No kangaroo?
No, look how she moves. Riley's got that big Swedish thing stuck in a wallaby skin.
Lulu inside a kangaroo skin? But that's terrible. Why, she's an imposter.
She's not only betrayed you. What about Willie?
Yes, that's right. She's poisoning the finest thing in my life. I'll beat her for this. I'll break every bone in her body. Love. Huh. Ashes.
There he goes. Look at that baby slug now. Oh, he'll murder her. He'll murder her. Yeah, look for it, baby.
One, two.
Magruder, we win. Mr. Magruder, we win. She's lying there like a like a fur-covered log.
Speak to me. Lulu, speak to me.
Hey, get back, you. McCoy, get the kangaroo back to the corner, and I will take the house. Baby. Get back here!
Lulu, what have I done? Oh, I've got to help her.
Hey, Willie, stop me, Sarah!
He's running off with us.
Let's take it out of here. He's going to get us by her.
Hospital?
Yes.
Oh! Nurse, please, I've got a life and death case here. Take her to a doctor.
But the doctor isn't a veterinary.
Please, I haven't time to explain, but this isn't a kangaroo. It's a woman, and I'm not a kangaroo. I'm a man.
Well, Bateman, so she's going to recover.
Yes, Mr. Magruder. And she's not mad at me. We're going to be married.
It happens, even to fighters.
I guess it does, Mr. Magruder. And at that, it was kind of romantic. Lulu in her kangaroo skin and me in mine.
Yes, sir. That's the way it was, and that's the real McCoy. They sure put a lot of form in them here, don't they?
Yeah. Say, do you ever hear from Bateman anymore?
Oh, sure. After him and Lola went back to Australia, he wrote to me, and I wrote to him. And then when I went in the paper business, it started it.
Started what?
Well, you see, he noticed the wonderful quality of the letter paper and joined right up with our firm.
Joined right up with us, firm?
Yeah, he's head of the Australian branch now. Gets a lot of business, too, on account of he's able to do the folks down there a lot of favors, like keeping animals off the ranch and things. Well, now, that's why I say you should switch your business to us.
Yeah.
The quality of our paper shows itself at a glance to anybody. What do you say? Do I get the order?
All right, send me 50 reams of rag bond.
Oh, thanks. And by the way, when you get the paper, you'll notice that the watermark is a...
Yeah, I know. A kangaroo.
No, though that might have been a very nice idea. No, it's a whale. A whale I was once connected with in a horse racing venture I was connected with. Sorry, I cut it.
You've been listening to the Columbia Workshop presentation of The Canvas Kisser, the second in a series of Shane McCoy stories by Nathaniel Curtis and Brewster Morgan. As before, you heard Ed Gardner in the role of Shane McCoy, with Carl Eastman as the customer, Paula Bowersmith as Lulu, Peter Donald as Bateman, John Brown as Magruder, Walter Kinseller as Riley. Others in the cast included Arthur Elmer, Frank Butler, Joseph Latham, and Virginia Brown. Bernard Herrmann arranged and conducted the musical score. The entire production was under the direction of Brewster Morgan. Next week, the Columbia Workshop presents an adaptation of a story by an author who was a popular contemporary of Charles Dickens. His name was Sheridan Le Fanu. He wrote a spine-chilling thriller which was a sensation in Victorian England. It was called Carmilla. It has been adapted for the workshop by Lucille Fletcher, whom radio audiences will recall as the author of the workshop's recent comedy success, My Client Curly. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.